I'm Janae Pierre, filling in for Melissa Harris-Perry. Hurricane Ian's wind speeds went from 75 miles per hour last Monday to 155 miles per hour by the time it hit Florida on Wednesday. The Category 4 hurricane decimated the Florida coast, leaving at least 2 million Florida residents without power. Many Floridians, expecting a low-end hurricane based on Monday night's predictions, made the choice to stay home. But Ian's rapid intensification caught some in Florida completely unprepared for the strength of the storm. Climate scientists across the U.S. are now pointing to the impact of climate change on hurricanes like Ian. Joining me now is Kasia Patel, deputy weather editor at The Washington Post, who has been covering these impacts. Kasia, thanks for being with us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
What makes Hurricane Ian different from other hurricanes that we've seen in recent years?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I would say that in a way, Hurricane Ian is similar to hurricanes that we've seen in recent years, which is worrying, right? Because when I talk to climate scientists and I ask them, you know, how is climate change affecting hurricane activity, they can say how much climate change impacted one hurricane, but that's a little bit different. Here we're talking about that Ian is actually a trend over the past few decades of rapidly intensifying hurricanes, especially at major, stronger, higher winds. And it was very slow moving and it was destructive. Since 2017, we've had six storms rated Category 4 or stronger that have hit the U.S. shoreline. And then we got a seventh, which is Maria, hit Puerto Rico. So Ian just follows in with that group.
What exactly is a rapid intensification event, and what can you tell us about their frequency?
Sure. Yeah. Rapid intensification event is kind of jargon in the science world. So basically, that means when a storm speed increases, their wind speed increases by at least 35 miles per hour within 24 hours. So here with Hurricane Ian, we saw that, you know, we went to sleep, it was a Category 3, and then we woke up and it was almost near a Category 5. That's a huge, huge rapid intensification. And what we're seeing, you know, there's still more research that needs to be out because climate change does hinge on decades of data, not just one or two data points. But what we've seen so far over the past 3 to 4 decades is that these rapid intensification events, especially in these stronger storms, are increasing. So, for instance, I was talking to a scientist and he told me that, and this is based off of his findings, these are hypothetical numbers, but it helps give you an idea. He said that if a storm in the Caribbean Sea 4 decades ago intensified by 34 miles in a day, that same storm would increase by 48 miles per hour in today's climate.
Wow. Talk to me about the relationship between the severity of these hurricanes and climate change.
Climate change can affect hurricanes in several different ways. And I think it might be kind of hard for people to think about, right? Because climate change, you know, we hear it's from burning of fossil fuels, the extra greenhouse gas is absorbed, it goes into the atmosphere and it warms the atmosphere. But the thing is, the ocean absorbs about 90% of the excess heat on Earth, which is from those human-emitted greenhouse gases, 90%. So as you can imagine, the ocean is heating up at unprecedented rates. You know, every year we talk about, oh, Earth was this warm, Earth was the hottest ever, this month was the hottest ever. And sometimes, you know, Earth is maybe the second hottest year that we've had on record, the fifth, the sixth, you know, it kind of fluctuates, but ocean has been consistently breaking records in terms of its ocean heat content is what we call it every single year. So basically what that means is all of that heat that is trapped in that ocean provides fuel for hurricanes, especially when the hurricane is going over, let's say, in the Gulf. The Gulf was very warm around this time for when Ian was passing through. The Gulf was warm. All of that heat, you know, it evaporates. It provides energy to Ian. So it helps make more storm clouds. It helps make it bigger. It also helps slow it down. So that way, as it slows down, it can tap into that heat in the ocean even more and intensify more. So that's just one example of how sea surface temperatures can intensify or make these hurricanes more severe.
Yeah. I want to talk a bit about a study out of Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, and it states that Hurricane Ian was 10% wetter due to the effects of climate change. Could you break that down for me?
Sure. Yeah, that's an interesting analysis. So in recent years, I would say, you know, maybe just in the past decade, there's been this emerging field in climate science called climate attribution. And I mentioned a little bit earlier in our conversation where basically scientists are able to use models and compare an event, let's say Hurricane Ian. They'll see what happened, you know, now with rainfall observations, and then they'll compare that into a computer model world where there is no human emitted greenhouse gases, you know, essentially a world without climate change. And they kind of look at those differences and see, oh my gosh, like this is Ian is this much worse. If we didn't have human caused climate change, this is what it would have been like. Mm-hmm. So these scientists, they found that without climate change, Hurricane Ian's most extreme rainfall events would have been 10% less. And this result is not surprising. It's not unexpected. This follows a lot of other studies that we've seen. You know, Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Harvey, a lot of these huge storms also had their rainfall rates exacerbated by climate change. And the reason this is because, like I said, with climate change, you have a warmer atmosphere. And a warmer atmosphere can actually hold more water. So if it can hold more water, that means the hurricane can have more storage. So when it's ready to fall, when the rain is ready to fall, more rain will come down. And we see this in non-hurricane events, just flooding events. Over this summer, we had so many in the US, and a lot of climate attribution studies will probably come out and say that those flooding events were also exacerbated by climate change.
Wow. And what does that mean for storms like this one in the long term?
Oh, boy. Well, so...
No, I hate to think about it.
Well, it depends on a couple of things, right? Because if we are able to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, if we're able to do the things that we need to do to reduce global warming, maybe in a few decades, it won't be as bad. However, that is going to take a lot of time. Let's say we get to a place that we're not going to emit an excess of greenhouse gases. Well, it's still going to take our Earth system a while before it can reach and feel the effects of that. There's so much energy trapped into our atmosphere right now, just from past decades, that we're probably going to see more intense hurricanes for a bit.
What's something that people get wrong when talking about the relationship between climate change and hurricane severity?
So I think there are, you know, people always think that, oh, everything is done by climate change, and people often accuse climate scientists being climate alarmists. And you know, I can tell you, I talk to a lot of climate scientists, and they're the first ones to tell you that something is not related to climate change. You know, science is a very rigorous process. It's not just one study necessarily that a scientist will do like, this was this trend that we're seeing is climate change. You know, it's a community, it's verified, there's peer review. Now, having said that, there are things that we don't find evidence yet that it is influenced by climate change. For instance, the frequency of hurricanes is not yet, it still seems like it's going on its natural cycle. And that makes sense, right? Because climate change doesn't really create weather events. You know, the weather events are done through meteorological processes in our atmosphere, on our land, you know, these interactions that kind of have already been there. What climate change does is it just kind of adds a boost to these weather systems. Some people say it's like weather or an extreme event on steroids. So I think it's important to know that we're painting this picture, but it's subtle in how climate change is affecting it. And I think when I say subtle, you're like, well, if it's subtle, then how come it's creating all these large, you know, catastrophic events? And the thing about climate change is, like I said, it exacerbates these weather events and it makes the extremes more extreme. So it's going to make these rapid intensification events that I said, they're going to make them intensify a little faster. They're going to make these floods a little worse. Like the study that you mentioned about the 10% of Hurricane Ian, it's going to make their rainfall, extreme rainfall rates, a little worse. And the problem with that is an issue for our infrastructure. We build our buildings, we build our infrastructure, and our society is built on sometimes what we think historically has happened in the past. And, you know, we think, okay, if we have this much rain, we're good. But now we're seeing extremes that we've never seen before, and that becomes a problem for how we build up our society.
Kasia Patel is the deputy weather editor for The Washington Post. Kasia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.